Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So now before we begin, let us recite Durud Sharif upon our beloved Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khayr wa khalqi kullihim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khayr wa khalqi kullihim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khayr wa khalqi kullihim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the ta'aleem of Hadhrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mulana Muhammad Zakaria Sabs, Fazali Sadaqat, we are reading the final chapter, which is Stories of the Pious and Their Generosity. We continue with the story that a Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu buys a date palm for a poor Muslim. In the time of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a certain man had a date palm tree growing in the courtyard of his house. A branch of the tree was hanging above the house of his neighbor, who was a very poor man. When the rich man climbed the tree to pick fruit and shook its branches, some of its dates fell into the poor man's yard, and his children picked them up from the ground. At this, the rich man would climb down, go into his neighbor's house, and snatch the dates from the children. If he saw a child chewing a date, the man would thrust his fingers into the mouth of the child and take out the date. The poor man went to Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained about his neighbor. Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard his complaint and sent him away. He then called the owner of the date tree and asked him, "Will you give me the date tree hanging above your neighbor's house in exchange for a date tree which I will promise you in Jannah?" The man said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many people want to buy this tree from me, and I also own many other date trees, but I like the dates from this tree very much, and therefore I have not sold it to anyone else." He thus excused himself from giving away the tree, because he was the owner. And as he was the owner, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not insist on buying the tree from him against his will. When the man went away, a Sahabi who had been listening to this conversation came forward and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you also promise me a tree in Jannah if I buy that date tree from him and present it to you?" Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Certainly, I promise you the same." The Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu got up, went to the owner of the tree and said to him, "I also own many date trees. You may sell that tree of yours to me at any price." The man said, "Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised me a tree in Jannah for this date tree, but I refused. The fact is that I like this tree very much. I might sell it, but nobody would pay the price I want for it." The Sahabi asked, "How much do you want?" And the man replied, "I could sell it in exchange for 40 date trees." The Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, "This seems too much for a crooked tree, but are you sure that you would give this tree in exchange for 40 date palms?" The man said, "Certainly, and if you are serious, then take an oath." The Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu promised that he was ready to buy that tree for 40 date trees, but the man once again refused to sell the tree. The Sahabi said to him, "You cannot refuse now, because I took an oath to buy it." The man said, "All right, but all the 40 trees must be growing in one and the same place." The Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought for a while and said, "Yes, all of the trees are in the same place." The Sahabi bought the tree and then came to Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "I have bought the date palm tree and I present it to you." Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the poor man's house and gave the tree to him as a gift. It was after this incident that Suratul Layl was revealed. A poet praises Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu for his generosity. A man once visited Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu and recited two verses of poetry which meant, "When you do a favor or behave generously, see that you are doing so to those who deserve your favor, for only then a favor is worth its name. Do not favor a man who deserves it not. And when you do a favor to someone, do it for the pleasure of Allah alone. For then you can do the favors to the non-Muslim and animals alike without giving thought as to whether they deserve it or not. Or let your favors be showered upon your relatives, for the relationship with you makes them worthy of your favors, without their being deserving or not. Except for these two, do not let your gifts be wasted upon the non-deserving." This poem was meant for Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself, who was famous for his generosity. Hearing this, Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu said, "Such poetry makes a person stingy and miserly. I would rather shower my favors like rain upon everyone. If my favors reach the noble and the deserving, well and good, for they are worthy of it. And if it reaches those who do not deserve it, then I shall blame myself for owning money, which is fit only to pass on to those who are not deserving and are ungrateful." These words were spoken by Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu in complete humility. He humbly felt that his wealth was worthless and was fit only for non-deserving people. Hazrat Aisha's radiallahu ta'ala anha generosity. Once, Muhammad bin Munkadir rahmatullahi alayhi visited Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha at her place and said to her that he needed some money desperately. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha excused herself, saying, "I am sorry, I don't have anything with me at the moment." She also said, "If I had 10,000 dirhams or dinars, I would give you the whole amount." Hearing this, Hazrat Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi went away. Shortly thereafter, a man brought a gift of 10,000 dirhams or dinars to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha from Khalid bin Asad radiallahu anhu. When she received this gift, she said, "I have been put to test for what I said to Ibn al-Munkadir." She sent for him immediately and gave him the entire amount as a gift. Hazrat Muhammad bin Munkadir rahmatullahi alayhi spent 1,000 of those dirhams by getting married to a slave girl from whom he had three sons, Muhammad, Abu Bakr, and Umar by name. All three were well known for their piety in Medina Munawwara. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha will of course have a full share in the sawab of their ibadat, because it was her generous gift to Ibn Munkadir rahmatullahi alayhi that brought about the marriage of their parents. There are many stories about the generosity of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, like her noble father, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha. Once, she distributed two bags amounting to 100,000 dirhams among the poor and needy, not keeping back a single dirham for herself to buy some meat for iftar. Once, she distributed 180,000 dirhams amongst the poor. Tamim bin Urwa rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, "Once I saw Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha distributing 70,000 dirhams to the poor, while she herself was wearing a patched dress." Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was an aunt of Tamim's father. This is the point to take note of here. We see that after Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha had stated her intention to do good if she was capable, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately put that to the test. It brings to mind an incident. Once I was in the company of my honorable Murshid, Mufti Zakaria Maqdasab, when he had recently written a kitab on takaful, you know, all of this insurances and medical aid, etc. So it was during...
This space was downloaded via spacesdown.com. Visit to download your spaces today.
Kaf, after the Taraweeh Salah, and we were sitting together when a young man came and he wanted to see Mufti Saab. So the rest of us went away. He sat with Mufti Saab in privacy for some while. And when he left, Mufti Saab told us that, "You see this boy, he came and he told me that I read your kitab on takaful. And as a result, I've cancelled all of my insurance, I've cancelled my medical aid, etc." So Mufti Saab told him, he says, I told him that, "Look here, it's very good what you did, but now you must get ready, because Allah will test you. So don't be surprised, you will find yourself in need of something that this would have been a help to you. But after the test, then that is when the ease comes. This is how Allah works. When you make an intention to do something, He will test you. He will want to see your sincerity. So it is something we must keep in mind. Many times we do something, or we make an intention to do something for the sake of Allah, we actually do the act, and then we find some difficulty comes to us, and then we want to think, you know, I did this for Allah, I did this. Why am I being tested now? Why am I being..." Some of us go so far as to say, "I did a good thing and I'm being punished afterwards. I'm suffering." This is Allah's way. He wants to see the sincerity. Do mankind think that they will be left alone to say, "I believe," and not be tested about it? Let me tell this in the Quran. I apologize for going off there. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma entertaining guests. Once, a certain man planned to trouble Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and to disgrace him. He went to all the leaders of the Quraysh, telling them that Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma had invited them to a feast the following morning. The man went about inviting people on behalf of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. The next day, many people gathered at the house of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who on learning the I don't know what happened there that everyone got muted, but I'll continue here. The next day, many people gathered at the house of Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who on learning the truth, asked them to be seated and arranged fruit from the marketplace and invited them to eat. Whilst Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma sat and talked with them, the cooks began preparing food for the guests. They were still enjoying the fruit when the meals were ready and served to them. When everybody had eaten, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma asked his treasurer, "Can we afford to arrange such feasts every day?" When the treasurer said that he could, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, "All of you are invited to have meals with me like this every morning." This incident was when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had won many battles and the wealth of the world collected in Medina. But the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum spent so generously that they kept nothing for themselves. A Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu would receive a large fortune after a battle. He would then spend everything and would not keep a single dirham for himself. They were not used to hoarding money or saving anything for the future. Hundreds of thousands of dirhams were spent within minutes. 1,000 dirhams goes around between three friends. Imam Waqidi rahmatullahi alayhi says, "I had two friends, a Hashimi and a non-Hashimi. We three were very close to each other. Once I had some financial problems. When the day of Eid was near, my wife said to me, 'We can be patient in all conditions, but I cannot bear to see my children weeping and crying like this. I feel as though my heart would break when I see them in old clothes, whilst other children in our neighborhood are buying new clothes and other fine things for Eid. My heart is filled with pity for them. If you could please get me some money from somewhere, I would sew new clothes for them.' Hearing this, I wrote a note to my Hashimi friend, telling him about my sad condition. He sent me a closed bag containing 1,000 dirhams, saying that I could use the money as I liked. I had not even opened the bag when I received a note from the other non-Hashimi friend, telling me about his poverty and need, just like I had written to my friend. I sent the closed bag of dirhams to my non-Hashimi friend. Feeling shy of going home without anything, I stayed in the masjid for 2 days, and on the third day, went home and told my wife the truth about the money. Surprisingly, she did not complain at all, but rather praised my generosity and said that I had behaved excellently towards my friend. As we sat talking to each other, my Hashimi friend came with the same bag that he had sent me 3 days before and said, 'Tell me the truth about this bag. How has it reached me again?' I explained to him how I had sent it to our non-Hashimi friend immediately after receiving it. He then said to me, 'When I received your note, I had nothing in my possession except this bag, which I sent to you. But then I wrote to my non-Hashimi friend asking him for help. I was surprised when he sent me my own sealed bag, which I had sent to you. Wondering how it had reached him, I have come to you to solve this mystery.' We then gave away 100 dirhams to the lady and distributed the remaining 900 dirhams equally amongst ourselves. Somehow, the Khalifa, Ma'mun Rashid, came to know about this incident and called me to his court. I told him the whole story, and he gave 7,000 dirhams as a reward, 2,000 dirhams for each of us, and 1,000 dirhams for the lady." The generosity of an Abyssinian slave towards his dog. Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu once passed by an orchard in Medina Munawwara. The caretaker working there was an Abyssinian slave. Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw the slave eating some food while a dog sat quietly in front of him. Every time the slave put some food into his mouth, he threw an equal amount to the dog. Ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhu stood watching for a while. When the meal was over, he went over to the slave and asked him, "Who is your master?" The slave replied that he belonged to the children of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhu said, "I saw you doing something very strange." The slave asked Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu what it was, and he replied, "After each bite of food that you took, you gave some to your dog." The slave said, "This dog has been my companion for many years, and I must give it a fair share of my food." Ibn Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "A dog can be fed on some other simple food." The slave said, "I feel ashamed to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that while I am eating, One of his creatures is watching me with a hungry look on his face. After this, Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu returned and went to the family of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an and said that he had come to ask them a favor. When they asked, "Please let us know," he replied that he wanted to buy the garden. They said that they would be pleased to give it to him as a gift. They insisted that he accept it free of charge, but he said he will pay for it. At last, a price was fixed, and Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu purchased the garden. He then requested that he also wanted to buy the slave who worked in the garden. They asked to be excused, as the slave had been with them since his childhood, and they would be very sad to part with him. But when Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu insisted, they agreed to let him have the slave as well. After purchasing the garden and the slave, Ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhu went to the garden and said to the slave, "I have bought this garden and yourself." The slave congratulated him and said, "May Allah bless you. However, I am very sad at parting from my masters, who have brought me up since childhood." Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu then said to him, "I set you free and give this garden over to you as a gift." Hearing this, the slave said, "If it is so, I make you a witness that I make this garden over as a private waqf for the family of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu." Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu said, "I was greatly surprised to hear this from him, and I went home, made dua for Allah's blessings upon him." Such were the excellent qualities of the slaves of our Muslim ancestors. We'll conclude with one more story, the honesty and taqwa of a shepherd slave. Once, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was going on a journey outside of Medina Munawwara in the company of his students and friends. At the time of supper, they stopped at a place and spread out the Dastar Khan. Meanwhile, a shepherd passed by him with his herd of goats and greeted them saying, "Assalamu alaykum." Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma invited him to eat with them, but he refused, saying that he was fasting. At this, Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, "You are fasting in a desert with no shade on such a hot day with a hot wind blowing." The shepherd replied, "I want to receive my reward for the Ayyamul Khaliyah, that is, the days that have passed." He was referring to the ayah of Quran, "Kulu washrabu hani'an bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliyah." And it will be said to those in Jannah, "Eat and drink at ease for that which you had sent before you in the days that had passed." Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then said to the young man, testing him out, "We want to buy a goat. Name your price and we shall pay it. We shall then slaughter the goat and give you some of its meat for iftar." The shepherd said, "These goats are not mine. I am only a slave, and the goats belong to my master." Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma then said to him, "And how will your master come to know? You can tell him that a wolf ate a goat." At this, the shepherd pointed to the sky and said, "What about Allah, who is watching us at all times? How can we lie to him and say that a wolf had eaten a goat?" Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was delighted with these words from a simple shepherd and began to say to himself again and again with extreme joy, "A simple shepherd says, what about Allah Ta'ala who is watching us at all times? A simple shepherd says, what about Allah Ta'ala who is watching us at all times?" When Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma returned to Medina Munawwara after the journey, he bought the slave from his master together with the herd of goats, freed the slave, and gave the entire herd to him as a gift. This was the piety of the shepherds of those times. Inshallah, we will continue next week from the story dealing with the three complaints of the people of Hims against their governor. Being the night of Friday, the night of Jumu'ah, humble request to all to recite those surahs which are masnoon, Surah Kahf, Surah Dukhan, to recite Durood Sharif in abundance upon our beloved Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That tomorrow, try and do all those acts which are masnoon. Clip your fingernails, your toenails, remove the moustache, perform ghusl, apply itr, apply oil to the hair, go early for the Jummah Salah, go walking if possible, go by one route, return by the other route, go early, sit close to the Imam, listen attentively to the khutbah, perform all of your sunan and nawafil, make dua during the hours of Asr and Maghrib. There are many others who I had missed out, but just a simple reminder for us to try live our lives as closely to the Mubarak Sunnah of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as possible. As always, I ask each and every one of you to forgive this unworthy one if I had misread, misspoke, mispronounced at any time. Allah forgive me, forgive us all. Let us recite Durood Sharif. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina wa habibina wa sanidina وعلى محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته يغفر الله لنا ولكم.